You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Open your eyes to the events that the mainstream media conceals in plain sight. A place where truth is stranger than fiction, where the world around you becomes astonishing, unbelievable, surreal. So sit back with a steamy bowl of imitation cheese-flavored popcorn and prepare to enter the realm of certifiable insanity. You've opened the door to the surreal news.
Dan, Heidi Ho out there on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Thanks for stopping by tonight. My name's Doug, otherwise known as Goat Hollow, and I want to thank you for coming by. I thought I'd start the news tonight with a little bit of good news. We'll get off on a good foot, and then we'll see how far in the hole we go. This article, I've seen it in a few places, but I happened to capture one, bookmark it from the Israeli National News, of all places. Obama's birthplace question may boot him off the Georgia ballot. Birthers have asked a Georgia court to bar President Barack Obama from their ballot unless he proves he was born in the United States. Interesting, huh? Oh, I wonder if more states will follow suit. Birthers have asked a Georgia court to bar President Barack Obama from the ballot unless he proves he was born in the U.S. The president last year tried to silence doubters and showed a copy of his citizenship papers, but that has not stopped those who say his papers are forged. American law requires the president to be a natural-born citizen. His birthplace is recorded. The article doesn't say it, but will say it allegedly as being in Hawaii. Georgia Democrat Party Chairman Michael Berlin said that if the Atlanta judge rules against Obama, the Secretary of State of Georgia has to make a tough decision about whether he wants to do that. If he does, then we are ready. Our rebuttal as a party would be to go to federal court and have him restored to the ballot. We're pretty confident that would happen. President Obama won 47% of the vote in Georgia in the 2008 election, and Berlin declared that opponents to President Obama are doing their best to keep him off the ballot because there's a pretty good chance he would win Georgia for president in 2012. Yeah, suppose it's the Republicans or maybe some other folks are trying to get at this issue. Yeah, another little piece of good news. It's actually nice to hear some good news, folks. We don't often run across it. Justices rein in police on GPS trackers. I don't know if you heard about this week. This article is out of the Wall Street Journal, Dateline the 24th. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that police violated the Constitution when they attached a GPS system tracker to a suspect's vehicle without a valid search warrant. Woohoo! Voting unanimously in one of the first major cases to test privacy rights in the digital era. The decision offered a glimpse of how the court may address the flood of privacy cases expected in coming years over issues such as cell phones, email, and online documents. Pay attention, Google. That's all I got to say. But the justices split 5-4 over the reasoning, suggesting that differences remain over how to apply age-old principles prohibiting unreasonable searches. Justice Antonia Scalia, writing for the majority, said that as conceived in the 18th century, the Fourth Amendment's protection of person, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures would extend to private property, such as an automobile. The government physically occupied private property for the purpose of obtaining information. Well, that was pretty good news, anyway. At least they got shot down on that one for a while. Here's in the really weird news category. There's an article out of the Daily News on the 29th, which is, today. I'm losing time. One in five young Germans is unaware of Auschwitz. One in five young Germans has no idea that Auschwitz was a Nazi death camp. A poll released Wednesday showed 2 days ahead of the Holocaust Memorial Day, although 90% of those asked didn't know it was a concentration camp. The poll's Thursday edition of Stern's for Thursday's edition of Stern's News magazine revealed that Auschwitz meant nothing to 21% of 18 to 29-year-olds in Germany. Wow. That's amazing. And nearly a third of the 1,002 people questioned last Thursday and Friday for the poll were unaware that Auschwitz was in today's Poland. The poll comes ahead of the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz by Soviet troops on January 27, 1945, which Germany has marked since 1996 with official memorial ceremonies for Holocaust victims. According to a report by independent experts commissioned by the German parliament and published earlier this week, about one in five Germans is latently anti-Semitic. Okie dokie then, folks. Here we go. We took a step forward with the GPS thing. We'll see if this is a step back, folks. This is off a prison planet. I don't know where you got the, that looks like Associated Press originally reported it. Came out the 23rd. Aaron Dykes, Infowars.com. Red spotlights to mark pre-crime suspects. East Orange, New Jersey to beam suspects of future criminal activity with flashy high-tech police surveillance equipment. It just keeps getting more and more surreal. In a glowing review of the rising prevalence of high-tech Big Brother surveillance gadgets in police force use, the Associated Press reports that East Orange, New Jersey, I don't even know where that is, East Orange, New Jersey, can't be too big of a city, plans to cut crime by highlighting suspects with a red-beamed spotlight before any crime is committed. A pre-crime deterrent to be mounted on nearby streetlights or other fixtures. According to the report, police officers monitor hundreds of video feeds from across the city. Big Brother's watching, isn't he? And opt to brand would-be criminals with a red glow. Must be the laser. Fire the laser beam, right? If they believe they are about to engage in a crime, such as a street corner mugging. Whereas London has talking cameras, we are about to deploy light projecting cameras, better known as light-based intervention systems, said William Robinson, police chief for East Orange. He added, the message to criminals is, we're observing you. The police are recording you. The police are responding. As Robinson mentioned, other pre-crime measures have been deployed both in the UK and the United States, as well as other countries. Talking cameras in the UK bark orders at antisocial offenders, while the Homeland Stasi here has partnered with IntelliStreets to release smart streetlights capable of saving energy while monitoring and recording citizens, as well as displaying government-mandated emergency alerts on digital banners. Now, pre-crime spotlights that bathe surveillance targets in a criminally branded red color will help complete the circle of preemptive suspicion. But that's just one flashy feature in a rash of new high-tech solutions provided to the crime-ridden city. Oh, get this. Under federal grant money. In East Orange, and probably a locale near you too, everyone is a pre-crime suspect until proven innocent. The video goes on to brag that officer squad cars also scan the license plates of every single vehicle they pass. Wow. Checking them against a variety of lists, from terrorist monitor lists. Oh, it gets good, doesn't it? To unpaid parking tickets, warrants, and more. Officers can then pull over vehicles that match watch lists, even if the driver has committed no violations, to draw attention from the patrol vehicle. Jeez. Okay, well, I guess that is a step backwards, huh? We've had to, all the hubbub over the recent Defense Authorization Act and the clause in there that allows permanent detention by military personnel. I'm sure you've heard of it out there. Obama signed it into the bill into, I think it was like January 1st, wasn't it? And supposedly it suspends our right of habeas corpus. Well, here's one for you folks. It's gonna just so surreal you can't believe. This is out of Channel 5 NBC, DFW.com. Man held in solitary confinement 2 years after DWI gets $22 million. No trial, no doctor, no judge. Man who spent 2 years in solitary confinement after getting arrested for a DWI was awarded $22 million for suffering inhumane treatment in New Mexico's Donna Anna County Jail. Stephen Slevin was arrested in August of 2005 for driving while intoxicated, according to the NBC station KOB.com. He said he never got a trial, and spent the entire time languishing in solitary, even pulling his own tooth when he was denied dental care. Prison officials were walking by me every day, watching me deteriorate, he said, day by day after day. They did nothing, nothing at all, to get me any help. Someone said he made countless requests to see a doctor, to get medication for his depression. I guess I'd be depressed too. Get caught busted for driving drunk one time and they throw you in the solitary for 2 years without a trial. But wasn't allowed to see a doctor until only a few weeks before his release. He also never got to see a judge. The $22 million settlement was awarded by a federal jury on Tuesday. It was one of the largest prisoner civil rights settlements in U.S. history. I wanted people to know that there are people at the Donna Anna County Jail that are doing things like this to people and getting away with it. Well, I guess they aren't now. Slevin, who now suffers from PTSD and believes he will have to take medication for life as a result, said they did what they did. I have no idea. Neither the county nor Slevin's attorney returned phone calls from MSNBC.com, but Slevin's attorney, Matt Hoyt, told KOB.com, I have never been with or seen a braver man who stood up to these guys for what they did to him. In this case, it affects everybody, and it's not good for this country. It's not good for Mr. Slevin, for sure, and it's not good for this country. It has to stop. Yeah. Ask Obama about that, huh? Alrighty, well, let's turn our attention a little bit to the Rand Paul thing. I don't know, have any of you out there heard of that thing? TSA detaining Rand Paul? Apparently, this is off the Daily Caller, but it's all over the news. 24th, I guess, Matthew Boyle, the Daily Caller. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul told the Daily Caller that being detained by the TSA at the Nashville airport Monday was a major ordeal that underscores flaws in TSA's procedures and affects tens of millions of passengers every year. It was a big headache, Paul said in a phone interview. I missed my speech here. I was supposed to speak to the Right to Life March, probably the biggest audience I'll get to speak to, and I missed it. The White House, through spokesman Jay Carney, defended the TSA's actions during Monday's press briefing by arguing that Paul wasn't technically detained or anything. Let's be clear, Carney said. The passenger was not detained. He was escorted out of the area by local law enforcement. The Senator Paul told the D.C. that he certainly felt like he was detained. If you're told you can't leave, does that count as detention? Paul asked. I tried to leave the cubicle to speak to one of the TSA people, and I was barked at, do not leave the cubicle. So that, to me, sounds like, I'm being asked not to leave the cubicle. It sounds a bit like I'm, being detained. The incident started after the scanner Paul walked through sounded its alarm. Current TSA rules would require Paul to undergo a mandatory pat-down before proceeding to his plane. But Paul told the D.C. that the TSA agents caved in after a two-hour battle and led and allowed him to go through the scanner again without additional physical screening. For an hour and a half, they said, absolutely, I would have to accept a pat-down, Paul said. And because I used my cell phone, I would have to do a full body pat-down because they're not allowed to use your cell phone while you're being detained. It's like, well, I can't call my attorney. I can't call my office to tell him I'm going to miss a speech to 200,000 people. In the end, after 2 years of this, 2 hours, sorry, 2 years of this quarreling, Senator Paul explained, they did let me walk through the scanner machine and it didn't go off. So what the TSA is not telling you is that the screeners are being used as random devices as well. The mechanical screeners will go off randomly, and the agent screeners don't know that it's a random call. But it has nothing to do with what you've done. Paul doesn't think that the Nashville TSA agents are singling him out because he has been critical of the agency. I don't think so, Paul said. They usually treated me pretty well in Nashville, but the problem is the rules that are coming out of Washington. I won't read the rest of it. Pretty interesting story. The Hill reported, along with that, White House sides with TSA and Rand Paul's standoff. This was on the 23rd. The elder Paul called the TSA a police state Monday after Rand Paul, well, I guess I would too, reportedly detained by TSA after he refused to take a pat-down from TSA officials. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said Monday he didn't have any reaction to Paul's police state comments. But Carney sided with the TSA, saying, I think it's absolutely essential that we take necessary actions to ensure that air travel is safe. Hey, did you see, I think it was, who was it? One of, I'm trying to think here. Anyhow, somebody did a study. Did you know that you are more likely, on average, to be killed by a champagne cork in the U.S. than you are a terrorist attack? Yeah, these things way, way more than terror. Carney said, okay, Ron Paul, who is one of four remaining Republican candidates for president, yeah, Dad Ron, disagreed Monday afternoon. Paul said that after he confirmed the incident involving Rand Paul on his Twitter page that showed why the TSA should be eliminated. The police state in this country is growing out of control, the elder Paul said in a statement released by his presidential campaign. Okay, well, I'm going to turn for a few minutes to one of our perennials here on Surreal News lately, because Iran is just continues to heat up. See if I can figure out which one I'm going to lead with here. All right, we'll do this one. Will Iran kill the petrodollar? This is out of Casey Research. January 25th, Chief Energy Investment Strategist Marin Katusa. The official line from the United States and the European Union is that Iran must be punished for continuing its efforts to develop a nuclear weapon. The punishment sanctions on Iran's oil exports which are meant to isolate Iran and depress the value of its currency to such a point that the country crumbles. Well, short version of the story is that in the 1970s, a deal was cemented that the U.S. dollar was going to be the only currency to buy and sell crude oil. And all important oil trade, the U.S. dollar slowly became the reserve currency for global trades in most commodities and goods. Massive demand for U.S. dollars ensued, pushing the dollar's value up, up, and away. You got to remember that. In addition, countries stored their excess U.S. dollar savings in U.S. treasuries, giving the U.S. government a vast pool of credit from which to draw. Well, if you think about it, folks, when we had sanctions on Saddam Hussein, he made the, I'm going to paraphrase this whole article, he made arrangements to sell oil to some of the European countries in euros and not dollars. And we attacked him shortly after that. Iran is now making arrangements to sell oil to India in gold. And I think it's rupees. Is that the Indian currency? They have made arrangements to sell oil to China in the rial, the Chinese currency. And now all of a sudden, U.S. warships are steaming as fast as they can to the area. Here's another article, same kind of deal, Breitbart. Iran-China's trade soars to top $45 billion. Trade between Iran and China soared by 55% on year to exceed $45 billion in 2011. 55% up in 1 year. Tehran's envoy to Beijing was quoted as saying on Wednesday. Ambassador Mehdi Safari said in Beijing that the annual trade figure showed a $16 billion increase in commercial ties with China since 2010. The official RFA news agency reported. China is Iran's top trade partner now, with economic ties expanding in recent years, partly thanks to the withdrawal of Western companies in line with sanctions against the Islamic Republic over its contentious nuclear drive. The Asian economic giant has also significantly strengthened its presence in Iran's oil and gas sector by signing a new series of contracts worth up to $40 billion in the past few years. Iran is the third largest provider of oil to China. You know, the European Union imposed sanctions this week, I think. Well, let's look at Greece for a second. We may run over a couple minutes, G-Man. Which article am I going to run with that? Wall Street Journal. Germany pushes for EU budget control over Greece. Now Germany wants to take over the financial government of Greece. Frustrated with slow pace of implementing a budget overhaul in Greece, in other words, more of what they call austerity measures that the Greek people are rioting in the streets already over, Germany is leading a push to force Athens to cede some control over its budget decisions to Europe, a move met by skepticism by European Union officials. The reason for such a move, made as a condition of disbursing another round of bailout aid, is the insignificant progress on Greece's debt reduction, which in part is the result of the country's extremely decentralized budget process. Yeah, well, you got to remember that Greece's debt is owed to big banks. An official said that any decision to place Greece's budget process under increased European control would happen to sovereignty, folks. Would have to be taken consensually with Greece, and cited the German proposal as one idea among many under discussion. Well, Greece is balking. An article out of BBC today. Greeks reject a German plan for an EU budget commissioner. Greek officials have reacted angrily, well, I would too, to a leaked German proposal for an EU budget commissioner with veto powers over Greek taxes and spending. The Greek government said it must remain in control of its own budget. The European Commission says it wants to reinforce its monitoring of Greek finances, but Greece said should retain sovereign control. Meanwhile, Greece and its private investors, there we go. That's another word for some of the bigger banks, are close to a deal which will pave the way for a second bailout. Greek government spokesman, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, told the BBC the discussions between the two parties had gone well, and they were close to an agreement. Yeah. Well, I don't know what you think about that stuff, but it still looks an awful lot to me like Greece is about to fold and bring the entire European economy down with them. Yeah. I think if they... Greece leaves, Spain and Portugal will be next, and we'll see how it goes, but I think things are get pretty dicey over there. Well, I hope you enjoyed the news tonight. I've got a really bad cold. I hope you can understand me, because I know my nose has stopped up like crazy. Remember that you should stack your preps just a tiny bit at least every day. Keep the momentum going. Think outside the box. Plan. And yeah, prepare. And we'll probably get through this. Night all.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.